Oh boy, attacks, tampering, you name it, as if we have enough to be concerned about. Bev Harris with us, and we'll be back with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Bev Harris with us, your calls as well. Bev, what was it that you must have seen years ago to get you involved in this subject matter?
Yeah, what I first saw was a conflict of interest in the ownership. You know, and I just went to look for who owned the company and saw that it was a very inappropriate situation where a guy who was a senator at the time, who later became Secretary of Defense, had owned and been the CEO of the company that counted his vote.
Ah, isn't that nice?
That kind of got me intrigued.
Well, I guess if you're going to own a company, that's the kind to own, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it counted 80% of his votes or something, and he won in a huge upset, too. It was, you know, written up in the national media as one of the biggest upsets in the nation, and he had not disclosed on his financial disclosure statements that he owned the company.
Oh, geez.
I was like, this is wild. But that was the tip of the iceberg. I mean, literally from that point on, every single question I would ask and then set out to answer would just get a more bizarre answer. And I realized that we were dealing with something that had kind of been unmonitored, hadn't been adequately monitored for years and years. And by monitored, I mean public monitoring.
Do you think he tampered?
Well, I don't know. There's a hard, no way to know because, well, you know, the thing about tampering with electronic voting, especially when it's in the central tabulator, is it overwrites the original evidence. So it's kind of like, think about if you're typing a Word document and you erase a paragraph and write something else there. And then you hand that document over. Well, the person who gets that document doesn't know what you wrote earlier. You know? So bottom line is you can't really know if it's the right stuff or not because it overwrites the original data.
When Bush beat Gore and there was talk about some
tampered.
Issues.
That was tampered.
That was tampered.
And that was provably tampered. What they did in that election, among other things, but they loaded minus 16,000 votes into one of the central tabulators. Again, it's the central servers. They put in minus 16,000 votes.
How do you put in minus? Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Why do they even accept minus votes? But they did. And they also put in a minus 4,000 votes in another county, and that gave them the result that was needed for the networks to call the election. But because it was such a clumsy way to do it, it got caught, and it actually, before all the recount and all that, it actually got backed out, and, you know, so by the time they were doing the recount, that wasn't a factor. But it did call them to cause them to incorrectly call the race, and when there was an internal investigation later, they attributed it to an unauthorized source.
Do you think?
Whatever that is, they never said anymore. That was the company itself. The voting machine company itself said, well, unauthorized source.
And that was really the beginning of doing this, wasn't it?
Well, you know, who knows how long. I mean, of course, the electronic, the computerized systems, well, punch
yeah, how
cards
old are
technically
they?
Technically, punch cards are a computerized system as well.
Those were the old UNIVAX machines, weren't they?
Yeah, but the ones used in Florida in 2000 that this happened with, were older Diebold optical scan systems, and the central tabulator for that system. And interestingly, you know, we have this Fraction Magic report, which talks about how they then fractionalized the count, which makes a very elegant way to actually tamper the central tabulator. They did that the year after that fiasco with the minus 16,000 votes getting caught. And with the fractional counts, you're not going to see any weird thing like minus 16,000 votes. It's going to look very much like it's going to make sense what you see.
That's strange. All right, let's go to Santa Cruz, California. Talay's with us west of the Rockies. Hi there, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. And Bev Harris, I want to thank you so much for all that you do for democracy and for basically you're helping people understand elections all over the planet. I wanted to point out that I've learned that Germany, Ireland, and Netherlands have pretty much abandoned computerized elections and gone back to paper ballots.
Right.
And Canada does paper ballots, and they count all of the whole country in 4 hours, and they have public in public places, anybody can go and watch the voting, right. And it's done on paper and pencil.
Right. That's very true. We have, in the United States, made it, it's like we make up these new things and then it makes it hard to do that, such as if you look at a California, you're from California, so you know this, you look at a California ballot and it's got like 12 different political parties and about 90 different things on it, and they make it so awful complicated that it would take forever. Now, when Canada counts their ballot in 4 hours, it's basically only got one or two races on it. We could totally do that with a presidential election, but we should, if we're doing that, we just would want to have just the presidential race on it. Once you start putting 90 races with 12 different parties, you got a mess.
Phil, I'll just have a follow-up question.
Yes. What about Jonathan Simon's book, Code Red? And he's got a 2016 edition, and it's about computerized election theft. And as I understand it, in 2014, what happened was they delivered, not in all precincts, but in key precincts, in order to throw the election one way, they deliver a machine that's already pre-programmed with a minus 100 for the Democrat, for example, and a plus 100 for the Republican.
Well, that was actually the demo that we did in Hacking Democracy in 2006, but that is not the way that you would actually do it. I've seen Jonathan's work, and I have tremendous respect for Jonathan, but that isn't how you would do it. There's better ways to do it. Again, you know, you're not going to go to all 5,000 machines. You're just going to sit at the central tabulator because you have total control at the central tabulator to a very precise level, and you don't actually need to do anything like deliver machines. You can just actually sit there and, you know, have your cappuccino.
Beverly, on election night, are you a consultant to any of the states?
I do a lot of consulting, but I don't do it in that way. Any campaign that contacts me, but I only do it for certain reasons, okay? So when candidates or campaigns call me, I only work with them if they're going to work on solving the long-term problem.
Where are you?
If all they care about is winning their own election, I have no time for them.
No. Where are you going to be election night?
I'm actually going to be in Los Angeles.
Well, that's where
but
I'm going
to be. I'm not
going to
be watching the Los Angeles election. I'm probably going to be monitoring the national.
Are you available to pop on the show?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, let's make sure you're part of it, because we're going to be live for 5 hours. Because I think it's going to be a long night, don't you?
I do, but I'm going to have to warn you. I'm going to be in this tiny house I'm going to be staying, and my grandchild's going to be in the house, and I don't want to wake her up, so I probably have to. Yeah, we'll have to figure out some kind of way in time and so forth. But absolutely.
I can send a limo to bring you to our studio.
Oh, fancy.
I'm very convincing. Let's go to...
Of course, because it's kind of been a tradition with us that we do this.
Yeah, I'll have Tommy talk.
You were one of the first people who actually discussed this. You got past the taboo.
Yeah, exactly.
And I so appreciate that, because it's actually out in the open now, and people are actually talking about it in polite society. But remember the day when it was just us?
Oh, I know it. I mean, a long time ago, coming on 13 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken a while. Although, in the scheme of things, this is a really very massive issue in a way. I mean, it really is. It's a large issue about how you take 100 or 200 million votes and process them in a fair way that everybody can see with changing technology. So... it took everybody a while to get our heads around the issue, but I think we're really getting there to going, okay, the issue isn't security, it's not cryptography, it's transparency, and actually technology can help. As long as you understand that the purpose is transparency,
right.
And it's like, let's find the technologies that make it transparent.
Let's go east. Brian is with us in Indianapolis. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you?
Wonderful.
Hey, Bev, this is some damn fine work you're doing here.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Hey, George, our country is weak and vulnerable right now. And we don't have to worry about outside entities trying to influence our elections. We have people inside our own republic that want to destroy our own republic. But here's the thing. George Soros, there's stories floating around that say he owns these companies that owns these voting machines, these electronic voting machines. Now, some of the votes have been changed, and people have, they've ran stories, whether they're true or false, I have no idea. Maybe Beth can shed some light on this. But why in the world, why would they want to have voting machines with George Soros's prints all over them? And let me tell you one thing, and I'll go. The Clintons, they're tampering, they know, and they don't care. They think they're not going to get caught. And this election is going to be crazy, and maybe the only thing that can save us is armed insurrection. I have no idea.
That's we don't want that. But
we'll save it with ballot images. But he brings up some good points.
Soros does own companies that deal with election.
It's a couple arm's length. This is how these guys always do it. They have a couple buffers between them. But yeah, you can get the fingerprints back to them, you know, if you jump through a few hoops. The company that he's involved with is called Dominion. Now, there have been some reports that are mistaken that say Smartmatic machines are here. We don't use Smartmatic machines in the U.S. That's Latin America. That's also connected with the same company. Here in the U.S., we call them a few different things, ImageCast, Sequoia, different things like that. But they're basically, they go back to Dominion. Now, on my Fraction Magic video that's up there, it has a map. This has nothing to do with the Fraction Magic, but I have a map, and I have it color-coded where all the different kinds of voting machines are. And if you look for everything yellow, you see the ones that are connected with Soros. But for added fun, in 2012, Mitt Romney, through a couple of buffers, bought one of the other big three voting machine companies. Now, technically, it wasn't Mitt Romney. It was his son through an LLC, blah, blah, blah. But so the ones in pink are those. And then there's one company, the one that's associated with Chuck Hagel, who was the Secretary of Defense, and he was the senator who got elected on his own thing. That company counts 60% of the votes in the U.S. It's marked in blue. So, you know, there's really not very many companies, just three, basically, that do all of this.
Now he said that the Clintons definitely are tampering. We can't prove that.
I will say this. I did catch tampering in a Clinton race in 2008.
How so?
Hillary Clinton ran against Obama in New Hampshire.
In the primary.
I went there for some various reasons, and we did catch them in the act of tampering with ballots.
Well, when you say them, we don't know if it was her. Remember what we just said earlier, hey, somebody fixed this,
somebody,
and they walk
was,
away.
Yeah, somebody was, and I spoke with somebody about it, who I said, now, how are you reconciling the fact that such and such and such and such happened, which I videotaped, and she said, well, sometimes a deal needs to be made. Well, now, when you have a situation and you know tampering has occurred, most likely it's the candidate that prevailed. You're right, though. It could have been tampered on behalf of the losing candidate.
Mm-hmm. And we know in the 1960 that John F. Kennedy's father took satchels of cash to sheriffs in West Virginia to buy off votes.
Very well documented. You know, hopping off a plane with satchels of cash, literally. This is the thing that people don't realize. This isn't new. It's just that the mechanism is.
It's high tech.
Yeah, and actually, one of the reasons that got me so frustrated in the beginning when people acted like it couldn't possibly be done because it was high tech was, why would we change, you know, our human psychology just because we have tech? We have the same human beings, you know, and the same psychology and the same incentives. So it's just going to migrate to the new technology, of course.
Next up, we go to Dina in Riverside, California. Hello, Dina. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you so much.
Sure.
Before my question, one of you mentioned that life will go on after the elections. A lot of us are terrified when the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, comes out and openly endorses a candidate. I don't know if you've ever been to any of their websites, but they want to get everyone out of the United States except them, pure white.
Right.
So I think it might be a lot different depending on who.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Ms. Harris, is there any state that has a tamper-proof, and why don't they have tamper-proof voting machines? You can't, you know, do something to an ATM or something. What is the problem?
Oh, you can definitely do something to an ATM. But you see, part of the thing is with electronic, like an ATM machine, you know how much money you're supposed to have in your bank account, and it's not anonymous in any way. The reason it's difficult to manage this stuff with votes is that the votes must be anonymous. You're not going to make an election system that's tamper-proof. What the objective is to make it so that it's publicly verifiable so that you can see the tampering. Because then you're going to have a tremendous deterrent, because people don't want to do it if they're going to get caught.
Well, and one of the things, too, like what Donald Trump should say when he gets that endorsement by the KKK and its newsletter and its magazine and whatever else they publish, simply say, I don't want it.
Yeah, it's like you return the money if it comes from a tainted source and
right.
So forth. Yeah, and on the other hand, I really don't think that they sling barbs back and forth, but I don't think really either candidate is actually racist. I mean, it's easy to say that, but you cannot say that somebody's personal beliefs are a certain way because somebody else who has odious beliefs likes them. I mean, I got to tell you, there have been some weird people over the years who have wanted to affiliate themselves with me. And just because, sometimes there's a couple people who are a little odd, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm odd. I'm perfectly normal, I want you to know.
Is there a possibility, Bev, that if somebody wins by hook or by crook, that the military eventually may step in and there could be a coup in this country?
I don't see that. I just don't. We still have some, enough checks and balances. If Trump were to get in, and if he were to, really become some megalomaniac and abuse his power, he would not get away with that. We have enough checks and balances.
And he won't do that. And she's not going to do that.
She may get indicted. I mean,
she could get indicted.
In my opinion, bigger issues in terms of.
Look, this is what my sources tell me.
Stuff.
The emails are not about what's on her server and classified documents. They are looking for fraud with the Clinton Foundation.
Right. And if there's, and if that, can, I mean, I have been working for 4 years on a different topic than elections, on a topic regarding how corruption, again, I look at locally, how it bubbles up locally and what the incentives are and what some of the solutions are. But to do that, I had to really understand money laundering. And I got to tell you, that thing that they're doing looks like a money laundering operation to me. And I think that's what the FBI is doing.
Well, you may be very, very right. As a matter of fact, I have a very high source who said exactly that.
Really? So. Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like that. So that's an issue.
That could take years. That could take years.
It could. And guess what? We still have the infrastructure in place to keep our stability as a country, even if that's the case. And it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, my goodness, they have compared it. If it's true.
Well, the truth be known, this country runs itself.
It really does.
And
if you look back in our history, we've had some amazingly crazy scandals. I mean, the Teapot Dome scandal was a humdinger. I mean, they were handing off a satchel full of $100,000 to the Secretary of the Interior.
Oh, look at Watergate. The country ran itself. Bev, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in a moment. And then next hour, weird stories. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be back. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about some weird, strange stories with Judica Illes, but nothing stranger than this election. I'll tell you, we're doing that right now. Welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Bev Harris and all your calls. That's amazing. Bev, our listeners are some of the most tuned in people I have ever dealt with. Any
Aren't
place
they,
I've
though?
Been.
They're just amazing how insightful they are. Yeah.
They're everywhere. And did you hear that the feds raided Hillary's house in New York?
I didn't hear that. I've been traveling, so I can't keep up with some of the stuff. I have to say this. Completely fascinating, and I'm waiting for the movie to come out.
Anyway. I don't know what the ending will be yet. Do you?
I know. I mean, but that's who cannot
okay,
be
okay? If one of the candidates is ahead, let's say by 6% in a state,
uh-huh.
and in a poll, and then the results come in after the election, and the other candidate has won, can you assume that there's been tampering or not?
I mean, it's a red flag. You know, the one that I went to in New Hampshire with Obama and Hillary, part of the reason was because there was an 18% swing, which was a big swing, and it just seemed kind of didn't pass the sniff test. You know what? You can't always, though, because the polls are also, you know, a little question. I mean, the polls are all over the place. How strange is it that, you know, one poll will say, well, he's 12% ahead, and another will say, well, she's 6% ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So I'm not sure we want to take them so seriously.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't, and I'm not even sure exit polls this year will mean anything.
Yeah, the truth is, you can't prove fraud with any kind of statistics. You prove fraud by looking at the evidence, which is the ballot.
All right, now, is anybody geared up to do that?
Well, this is why we're letting everyone know that they do exist, and everybody has the right to do it. You don't need any special staff.
Yeah, but Bev, the election's in a few days.
No, but it doesn't matter. Listen, if you've got 100 million people and people are suspicious about it, they can go look at those things. It doesn't matter. You can go look at them. You can't look at them
before
the election.
How are they going to know? I mean, if somebody goes and votes and then they suspect fraud, or they don't even know, but they want to look, they don't even know what to look for.
Sure they do. Sure. All you do, you look at the results and it says the results was this, this, and this in your precinct or your county or your state, and you get the ballot images and you just see if that's what they add up to.
All right, so in any given county, what are we talking about? If it's not a big city, what are we talking about in terms of total votes? 20,000? 10,000?
Oh, no,
how many?
It could be as much as a few hundred thousand, but guess what? That's where the good news comes in. There's a guy 8 years ago that built some open source free software tool that lets you automate it too if you want. You know, it basically all it does is OCR character recognition to recognize candidate name and a grid, you know, so that it knows where the oval is. And it will, so you can run them through that, or you can just pick a precinct. Like a precinct's usually only about 900 votes.
I bet if you called up your county clerk and said, I want the results, after the polls close, a copy of them or something, he'll say, are you crazy? I mean, if every constituent, every voter in that county asked for that, they're not going to give those out.
No. Listen, the results themselves, first of all, should be on the web, and in most states, it's the law. So that's taken care of.
All right.
And then, absolutely anybody can ask for a public record, all it involves is copying a file. Now, if they're smart and they have tons of people coming in, then they should just put them on the web, because why would they want to fill 100 records requests when they could just stick them on the web once? But it won't work out that there's 100 people clamoring for it. But here's the thing. If you suspected something is wrong and you find even one precinct where the things don't match,
then you can assume it's everywhere.
Blam. You've got yourself a case.
Interesting. Let's go to Gary.
You don't need to look at the whole state. You can say, this one just doesn't look right, doesn't smell right. I'm going to check this one precinct. And I really kind of am a fan of that. Not so much randomly, shooting in the dark, but saying, what just doesn't pass the sniff test? And then be as precise as you can. And that's how I've actually ended up catching a lot of things, is by going to where it just doesn't look right. And I also sometimes will check the place that has a history of corruption, like Fulton County, Georgia. Oh, my God. I mean, they have corruption officials. They had a sheriff there that killed his opponent and then won his election. I mean, and then ended up going to jail. I mean, you pick a place like that, and you go, well, they seem like they may have a little higher incidence than some other places. So let's check their vote. And that's kind of, so you got to be a little bit strategic about it. But yeah, the truth is, if you find one precinct where it doesn't match, that means it's got to be opened up, and that gives it real grounds. And of course, the candidates, their campaigns, believe me, we've been making every effort to make sure that the candidates know that this option is available to them this year.
You think Putin does this too? Tampering with his own results?
Yeah, I know a guy who's an NSA type, and he said that they cross-tamper over there.
I mean, so what's going to happen after Putin's term is up? Then Medvedev's going to run again,
I don't even know their names, but all I know is just go back and forth. That I talked to said that they actually have like a cross tampering war going on, where each one is tampering, and they're both. It's like who can tamper the most, the best, and the last.
Gary in Santa Maria, California. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Bev. I talked to you in 2014 on election night, so I'm ahead of the curve here. You are jaw-dropping good, girl.
Oh,
I've been in this business a long time, and you're in a class. There's nobody even a mile away from you. Arlen Specter, just after the 2000 election, 5 weeks after, in a very public way, offered me the chairmanship of the Voter Reform Commission to eliminate voting fraud. I built a prototype that did the optical character recognition, and I ran it on a neural net Mark IV at TRW. But your cell phone now is about 200 times more powerful than the Mark IV was back in 1994. George, to answer your question, once you have those image files, any major imaging company, if you can do face recognition and comb through 100 million records looking for a face in under 15 seconds, sampling a ballot is a piece of cake, and you put a confidence threshold, and it sorts it out in a bunch of different files, so if it's not confident because of a hanging chad or a double-marked ballot, it just pulls them up on the screen for somebody to explain the rule to the system. Most of the companies will give you the setup for free. The cost would be someplace south of 0.1 cent per image. It can cut through, and it doesn't matter. All the counties can have their own ballots, butterfly ballots, punch chads.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
It's
OCR'd. Those OCRs can be read with the...
Yeah, and a guy did that, like I say, up in Humboldt County. He just... And I mean, the truth is, if they release these ballot images, all kinds of people will be doing that, and you'll also be people coming up with statistical analysis models. You know, a guy called me today, and he said, maybe I could get my county to do this, you know, statistical thing. He was a mathematician. I said, tell you what, release all the ballot images, and you can do it, and then your friend can do his. And he loved it. He's like, yeah. I mean, it's like people are so brilliant in this country. Our strength is our citizens. And, you know, you release this stuff into the wild, and believe me, the citizenry will figure out all kinds. You'll have more ideas than you could shake a stick at, and they'll all be, you know, a lot of really good ones, and it will get solved. So I'm excited because we are on the threshold of actually dealing with and getting the electronic voting issue solved. And you know what? The vendors can stay there. Even the crooked guys can stay there, because we're going to catch them if we do this.
Bev, if you were the losing candidate in this presidential election, would you accept the results?
No.
You would not?
No, I'd get the ballot images. I mean, I think this is an opportunity to set a precedent to solve this problem once and for all, to tell you the truth. I mean, not that they'll always be accurate, but to solve the issue of not being able to know. And once people can know, then you're not going to... I mean, I actually think it's legitimate to say I won't accept the result that I can't verify. I do. Why should we? It's just strange to me to say you have to accept the result, but you can never verify it.
Let's go to Kevin in St. Paul, Minnesota now. Hi, Kev. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thank you for talking
you're
about
very
this.
Welcome.
You know, George, you asked Bev earlier, what's the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen regarding this? And frankly, I think it happened a very, very long time ago. The corruption of our political system and the corruption of our system of electing candidates is like 20 layers upon each other.
Sure.
And I think the ballot box is really just the final layer of corruption, and almost unnecessary. When you go back as far as the formation of the Commission on Presidential Elections, which controls who gets in the debates and who doesn't, you could go back further than that to the whole Kennedy thing. But if you just go back that far and work your way forward with the manipulation of information, the manipulation of the press, which the press may be part of, and all the rest of it. There's so many layers that are corrupt in our system, and the fact that our system of electing candidates is totally controlled by the two parties, which are private organizations.
Yeah,
they totally control the very system that elects the people that get into the system.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
you have a lot of points. One thing I tell, because there are it is overlapping, right? When you have problems like this, though, and we know this in this country because we've got great engineers and so forth, you simply segment them out and parse them out into their individual parts. So, for example, in my end of things, I look at four things: who can vote, who did vote, the counting of the vote, and the chain of custody. And so people will say, well, what about the voter list, and what about who, you know, the voter ID, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's in the who can vote, you know, column. And you do have to. There's not going to be one magic wand that solves it all. But you solve it by parsing it out into its components and then coming up with a suite of solutions, and you just tackle them one by one. And I do think that you're right on one other point, though. I mentioned earlier that I've been working for about 4 years on a book on another related topic, and it is about corruption patterns. It's because of that I came to realize elections are just about corruption. I don't know why it took me so long to come to that.
We live in a perception of honest voting and freedom, and though this is the greatest country on the planet, let me tell you, and we do have that feeling of freedom, there are things that are controlled that we have no idea.
But they're not controlled 100%, you see. And this is why there's still always an ability to get that surprise or to get the bum out of office. There still is. I might have even mentioned it on the show, but I worked on a case in Kentucky that was very thorny. It was a local case, but a drug cartel had pretty much gotten control of the county, and there was an honest sheriff trying to get in, and they were tampering his election so he couldn't. But he eventually he was so clever and strategic, and he actually managed to get himself into office and clean some of it up. I mean, it was amazing.
He's lucky they didn't clean him up.
They did put out a contract on him.
Oh, really?
FBI had to come in and deal with that. I mean, but the thing is, our system it's got corruption in it, but it's not all corrupt. We have to, you know, it's just like, and it's always going to have some in it because that's human nature, and we can do things to try to make the incentives less and the transparency more, but we still have, in general, the ability to displace somebody and get them out of office if we really have to. But we have to get more control over it, because the pendulum has swung way too far the other direction of losing control.
We've got Dave in Lake Tahoe, California now. He's been on hold for a while. Hi, David.
Good morning, George.
Morning.
Hello, Beth. How are you tonight? Morning.
Hi, Dave.
Wherever you may be. Hey, I got real quick, George. I'm going to send you my, look for it, you or Tom, I'm going to send you my Cubs song. I'm a lifelong Cubs fan.
Okay, and congrats, by the way.
Hey, 108 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been around for at least half of that. But anyway, I'll send it, and you can take a look at it. You might like it. You may want to spin it one time.
Okay.
And then, Bob, my question for you is, I never get an answer from anybody or hear about the solution to this or the reality of it. This voting without ID situation, there's like 12 states or 16 or something that allow voting with no ID. Does that mean you can just walk in and say, I have no ID, and it doesn't matter who I am, let me go punch the button? Because I know I had to jump through hoops to get myself registered for the election, and what's the reality of that? I mean, can people just walk in and say, I don't have an ID, but I want to vote, and they let illegals
They often ask you to show them something, like a piece of mail or something, but
that's weird.
In flux.
What if you steal?
Layers of issues. Think about this craziness we have with rampant vote by mail. I mean, talk about no ID. You don't even have a warm body, you know, with the vote by mail. I mean, it's just a piece of paper that who knows who printed that up and stuck it into the system. You have no idea. And you know, you talk about dead people voting. One thing I know, because I've been able to document this, is when you have a dead person vote, you probably had 1,000 live people. It's just people they stuffed into the system that they're people. You can get a voter list of people's voter history. You can see, well, this block of people, you know, doesn't vote very often. So if you're going to stuff votes in, you're going to pick the people that don't vote very often, right? Because you don't want to get caught. And so, but some of those people, the reason they don't vote very often is they're dead, you know.
Yes,
and
they
so
are.
When you see a dead person who voted, there are probably another 1,000 that got stuffed in there that are still alive, that just don't vote very often, and someone decided they would cast an absentee ballot in their name.
Wonder what that dead person's spirit's doing when they see the vote cast in their name. No, not that him, not that person.
Well, I mean, it's not funny, but you know what? Here's the other thing. When you deal with these tackle these big public policy issues, you've got to have balance in your life and a sense of humor, because it is exactly what the psychiatrist, his name was what, Peter Brennan, was that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Brennan.
You've got to wake up the next morning and go, I am an individual, and this is what I'm going to do. That's how you keep your balance.
Okay, so, Brev, what do we say to the voter who's going to vote Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
The American way to cast their vote, their constitutional right to vote. What do you tell them when after they've listened to this program, all they think is that the whole thing's contaminated?
Oh no, go vote, because if you give up on voting, then we've definitely lost everything, then, haven't we? Yeah, go vote, cast your evidence into the pile, and then if it doesn't look right, then, you know, take a step, any step, do something. But it actually is improving. I cannot stress enough. I've been doing this for 14 years.
So you're seeing it getting better.
We are so close to being able to see, to get real, tangible solutions on the table that are actually practical and don't cost anything. It is amazing to me that we're getting there. You know, it's a bunch of great people around. Your guests give me such good compliments, but there's great people out there.
All right, Bev, keep in touch with us. Keep in touch with Tom. Let's see if you are available on election night. I know you're with your mother, and I don't want to tamper with that. We'll be back.